Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the City on a Hill podcast. I'm Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
And for the last three episodes, we've been talking about the key passages regarding government in Scripture. And we're going to do one more episode because we missed one. We need to talk about the one we've probably been quoting more than any other over the last year. I know this one has come to mind more than any other. I don't know about you, Scott, but 1 Peter 2. 13 through 17. That's kind of been my, it's been my compass, I would say.
Good. Well, do you have it there? Do you want to read it or I can?
Yeah, I can read it. Okay. 13 through 17. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor.
Thank you. What about this has been a compass for you? I like that word. I hadn't necessarily thought of it that way.
Well, the imperatives are pretty obvious, especially 17. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. And I have been given many opportunities to, or maybe temptations would be a way to say that. I have been given many temptations this last year to do something other than what that requires. Hmm. And if I'm frustrated with what a governor or what an authority above me has decided, man, what do I do? And my American blood starts pumping. And I have different impulses than 1 Peter 2. And so, wait, let's get back to North. Okay, honor the emperor. Okay. And it even says governors before. But there's also been opportunity to be frustrated with other people who see things differently than I see them or who want to argue about things. And outside the church, okay, honor everyone. I need to honor these people that they disagree with me. They don't like what I'm doing or what I'm not doing. So there's the honor piece and then the love, the brotherhood piece. I mean, those disagreements are not just outside, they're inside. And again, what's North? Okay. Love the brotherhood. That's the imperative. That's what I should be doing. And my default isn't to do that when there's disagreement, when there's difficulty, when there's frustration. And then ultimately fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if I'm not sure about what on earth is going on in the universe right now, because there's all these things happening, and what could God be doing with this? How can God be bending this evil to some good ends? Because Scripture says that He is to some good ends. I don't know what it is, but I need to fear God anyway. So I just keep coming back to this. Last year, for sure.
I like that you use your compass. I was thinking of it. We use this sort of as a template for the way that we try to respond to the government regulations about the pandemic. We wanted to honor everyone, and you know, recognizing that the entire state of Oregon had the same mask mandate that we did, had the same you know, physical distance that we did, and many of them were afraid, and so we wanted to honor them. And love the brotherhood. We knew that there were those in our brotherhood that were more vulnerable, that had health issues or age issues or the things that made them vulnerable. We wanted to love them. And so we used this as a template there. We wanted to fear God. We wanted to make sure that what we did was in accord with His word and had Him as the number one audience. And that meant in this case, especially, that we honor the emperor or the governor. And so we And, you know, and putting those two together, fear of God and honor the emperor, I do think I need to say that we've been using governor and president, and you know, Americans kind of talk that way, really, like those are the only two things we really worry about, where, you know, there is an Oregon Health Authority that has been delegated the responsibility of protecting the health of Oregonians by the government. Where did they get that authority? From God. So we're, you know, our honoring of those guidelines, we believe, is honoring the kind of the line that God has placed us in underneath them. They're the ones to whom God has given that responsibility, even though there are a lot of other opinions about how you go about staying healthy in a pandemic. That's fine. There are a lot of opinions, but only one organization or authority has been given that responsibility by God. So in order to fear God and honor the emperor, we chose to go with, you know, that one entity there like that. So, you know, I love 17 like that. It's super easy there. But the other thing I really like is just, again, how the flow of this whole paragraph goes. You know, again, be submissive. Why? Because every institution gets it right. No. Be submissive for the Lord's sake. And then it doesn't matter what level of government it is. You're still, for the Lord's sake, the emperor or governors, you're still submissive. They're to praise those who do good and punish those who do evil. And you're to interact with them in such a way that you will silence the ignorance of foolish people. So you're not going to try and stand your ground in hopes that, you know, you'll get the government to kowtow to your opinion, even though it makes some other people upset. You're going to silence the ignorance of foolish people by the way you submit to the government. It's kind of interesting. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil. And it's interesting that he says submit and then live as somebody who's free. And there is a freedom in that. I think this whole thing that I really love about First Peter is that he writes this to the exiles. And this to me, we almost named the podcast something like this too, because this to me is one of the key concepts, is what identity do I have as a Christian in this world, in this country, in this city? My identity is that I am an exile. I do not belong here. I am out of place. And I'm out of place because I'm a citizen of the kingdom, and I'm in exile in a kingdom where I don't belong, and I've got to make my way. And I don't have the power, I don't have the privilege, I don't have the rights that I might have if I were a full-on, you know, citizen or, you know, ranking official in that other country. I am an exile. And I think if the Church of Jesus Christ were to get that identity, we are not a conservative group. We are not a liberal group. We are a group of exiles doing our best to represent another kingdom. And, you know, we're really longing for home. We're not longing to make this thing our thing or to exert our rights here. We're simply trying to make it home. And that whole posture of an exile is, I think, really, really key. And I think it relates to our Christian witness. Maybe we can talk about that another time. But I think when people think of how does the church relate to the government, they think in terms of, well, policies, or they think in terms of God blessing an obedient government or something. And the reality is, when you think of your government, I think the first posture is, I don't belong there. I don't belong here. I belong to another kingdom. That's the first thing. I'm an exile. and I'm making my way in this strange world, which is good because it, I mean, it, the world isn't like my home. The world is not working like it should, and it's not going to work like it should. And the policy of this foreign kingdom that I'm part of isn't going to fix the problems. And so I'm ultimately going to have to come to grips with the fact that I'm off balance in this world, and I'm going to do my best, basically, but I belong somewhere else. And that exile posture, that's the one that Peter's talking about here. And so he's telling these exiles, how do you make your way as an exile? You make your way as an exile by honoring everyone, loving the brotherhood, stick with the other exiles, right? Fear God. He's the king of your country to whom you, to which you belong. And then honor the emperor. You're, you get along with the emperor as best you can, because you don't belong there, and you know, keep your head down kind of. So anyway, that's, those are some of my thoughts about that one. But you're right. I love that you, I love Compass. We use it as a template, but I think even more so the identity of an exile is really, it's really been transformative for me to see that as a political posture.
Yeah.
So that's.
Well, and that identity is freeing. If you live in that identity, there is a freedom there that cannot be had if you lean into a different identity, if you lean into a different citizenship. And I've, even in the midst of, I mean, it's been a hard year. I think that's worth noting. But even in the middle of that, if I, because of this verse, because of this passage, I'm reminded of my citizenship. I'm reminded, wow, I belong to the God that every human institution is but a servant of. That's, that's just a freeing thing to know. And it makes dealing with some of the stuff a lot easier.
Well, and I like freeing. Freeing's, I mean, number one, it's in the text. That's part of the reason it's a really good choice. But but the other thing is, you know, I'm not winning or losing. If I'm an exile and I don't belong here, I'm going to be, you know, my person's not going to win or lose. I'm going to make do. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to do my best, regardless of who wins or loses an election or whatever, because, you know, that's just the nature of not belonging.
Right.
In other words, my tribe's not in power. I'm not trying to keep my tribe in power. My tribe is an exile tribe. And by definition, by identity, we don't have the power. So that it is freeing. And it really takes a lot of the fear out of it. Because I don't have to be afraid now about my side not winning.
Right. Yeah, this is helpful. And it's really interesting to me, just God's providence, just so the listeners at home can know, we preached this, we finished it a couple months before the pandemic started. It was pretty close.
Guess we did, yeah.
And that, I just felt God's providence in that the entire year after I had to preach this verse.
I felt like everybody forgot it. So you're better than me.
I didn't say for everyone. I just said for me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was good for me too. It was very good for me too.
But I needed this and didn't know I would need this. And it's not just applicable in 2020. It's applicable all the time. It was applicable when Peter did it, when Peter wrote these words 2000 years ago, and it's applicable now, and it's going to be applicable next year, and it's going to be applicable until I'm done. It's helpful. And if we can, I'm saying that to us, Scott and I, but anyone listening, if you belong to Jesus and can grab this posture, there is freedom there, and there is, it's just helpful. It's just good.
Well, and you think about, again, the nature of the church, we're going on longer than I wanted to here, but that's okay, because I love this. Because you think about the nature of the church, and you know, the church is an exile, no question, in Myanmar. The church is an exile in China. The church is an exile in Venezuela, whatever. Wherever you want to pick a hard spot, you're going to say, oh, yeah, oh, that's a terrible place for a church. But, boy, we're kind of in control here. And the thing is, it works the same way no matter where you are. Sometimes God's providence is, you know, gives you some advantages that you don't deserve. But I think the nature of the identity is the same. I would want you to feel the same in Oregon that you would feel in Hong Kong if you are, you know, part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And, you know, my guess is we don't feel the same way. And I think that that's some of that identity piece. So anyway.
Well, we hope for all the listeners out there that if you belong to Jesus, that you have this posture. We hope and pray that for you, that this would be your posture, that you would be able to relate more to your Christian brother or sister across an ocean than your fellow citizen in America. So that's our goal. We want to disciple you that direction and know that God will be pleased with that, but also that there's joy there. There's freedom there. So that's what we have for today. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and rate us. If you find what we are doing helpful, a review, a rating, it goes a long way to convince the algorithms to show us on a Google search. So please do that. If it is helpful, share it with a friend. And if you have questions, send them to podcast@newlifenw.com. And we look forward to the next conversation. I'm